We'll be talking about two types of Jesus. Everybody say two types of Jesus.
Two types of Jesus.
You know, there are many types of Jesus. Have you heard of Jesus of Oyinbo? You are not old enough to know. Or some of you were not in Lagos. Jesus of Oyinbo. I think his place, they have turned it to a redeemed parish now. He said he was Jesus. Yeah, and he died, you know. He had a lot of wives. He didn't resurrect. His own Jesus is not the type that resurrects. We have so many types of Jesus. But for the real Christians, like all of us, we all have two types of Jesus. And I'm going to be talking about those two types of Jesus now. All Christians have two types of Jesus. All Christians. Whether you are Catholic, whether you are Pentecostal, whether you are Anglican, whether you are Baptist, whether you are Presbyterian, we have two types of Jesus. I mean, serious Christians, we have two types of Jesus. Other people have heard of several types of Jesus. So I want to be talking about the two types of Jesus today. The two types of Jesus are, number one, the Jesus we read about in the Bible, the Jesus they told us about. Are you still here? The Jesus that people told us about. You know, when I was preaching on Sunday, I talked about Jairus. I talked about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short, rich man who was a chief who wanted to see Jesus for who he was. Zacchaeus knew two types of Jesus, just like every Christian here. The one that they told Zacchaeus about, if he knew him, he would not have... I can't know you. Try and understand me. I can't know you. And then they say you are coming. I say, let me go to the road and see whether it's Sister Rosemary that is coming. Will I ever do like that? It's not necessary because I know you. Is it not Sister Rosemary? Is it not Sister Rosemary? Yeah, she will come. But if I don't know you and they say you are one big person, I will come to the road and say, I'd like to see or check my windows. So it means there's a Sister Rosemary that I've heard about, which people have told me about. So Zacchaeus heard about Jesus, the Jesus he was told about. And he heard many things. Some of them, I'm sure they told him that Jesus used to disappear. You know, that if Jesus is preaching and they want to kill him, he will disappear. Yes, it was true. He did it once, at least in the Bible. They told him about Jesus that one Mary just spent all her money to buy oil for and broke the oil and just poured it all over his body. That Jesus like money. That's they told him about that Jesus. They also told him perhaps about the Jesus that turned wine into brokutu, turned water into brokutu, into palm wine. You know, they also may have told him about the Jesus that was always saying things that they don't understand. He would talk in parables. So he didn't know this Jesus, but he had heard about Jesus. How many of you know London? Have you heard of London now? Let me see, London. You've not heard about London. Okay, you've not heard about America. Have you heard about them? Fine. That is an America that you have heard about, but you don't know America. So we all have two Jesus that we know. The one we have heard about. The problem is most of us have heard about Jesus. There's no, even the Muslims have heard about Jesus. There is no, those who don't want to hear about Jesus have heard about Jesus. Those who have closed their ears and said they don't want to hear about Jesus, they too, if they ask them who is Jesus, you know, that person that they call the Christian God. You know, one day a Muslim came to ask me, say, come on. He said, why is it that you Christians why is Jesus so, everything is Jesus for you people? He said, but there's God. You know there is God now. I said, yes. And Jesus is I told him, and Jesus is the Son of God. Say, we Muslims, we don't believe that. But what I have noticed is that you people don't play with Jesus. You even play with God, but you don't play with Jesus. He also knows Jesus, but he knows Jesus from afar, from observation, from what he heard. Now, so Jesus, for many of us, all Christians, we have two kinds of Jesus. So I've told you about one type, the type you have heard about. Right? Have you met Jesus at the Bafo bus stop before? Have you met Jesus at CMS before, Lagos? No, you have not met Jesus. So the Jesus you have heard about is the same Jesus that you have, listen to this, is the same Jesus that you have read about. Now, just because you read about Jesus does not mean you know Jesus. You simply have read about it. Just like you have watched London, you have watched America, you have watched Jesus's film, you have read about America, you have read about Nigeria. Even we in history read about Nigeria, so that we will know Nigeria more. Even though we are inside Nigeria, we still read about Nigeria to know Nigeria more. When we were doing politics, what's it called in secondary school? Political science? No, in university it's political science. What is it called? Government. When we're studying government in secondary school, we learned about Nigeria and the politics of Nigeria. When we are reading history, when we're doing history in those days, we read about Nigeria. Why do they need to teach us about Nigeria when we are already inside Nigeria? We needed to be taught about Nigeria because Nigeria existed before we were born, right? If Awolowo was available, you cannot teach Awolowo about Nigeria. Those are the people who made Nigeria what Nigeria is. Zeke and Abubakar Tafawa Balewa and the rest of them. They are the stories we read about. They are the history we read about. So even though we are living in Nigeria, we are still learning about Nigeria, right? Okay. So because Nigeria is so big to learn about. For instance, I've lived in Lagos. There was almost no part of Lagos that I don't know. I did my primary school here, I did my secondary school here, I did my university here, I did my master's here. I have lived in Lagos. I was born in Lagos and all that. So, but I have gone to Abuja several times. I still can't find my way around Abuja. The only time I drove to Abuja, I was using Google Map. And I remember that instead of going from here to Ascon to get to Ibafo, I would go through Maguru bus stop, Maguru back, Maguru bus stop, then I'll come back to Ibafo. The map will just carry me every year. If I miss the road, the thing will take me to go and pass Shagamu, come back again to Ibafo. And that's how the map, there's always road with Google Map, wherever you miss it. So Abuja is so complicated to me, even though I've been there several times. I need to learn more, I need to live there more. Now, let me talk about the second type of Jesus. Are you ready now? I've not opened the Bible because I don't know where to open for you to preach this kind of message. But let me tell you about the second type of Jesus. The second type of Jesus. Now, the first type of Jesus, I call him, which I have described to you, the Jesus that you've read about, that people have told you about. That type of Jesus that I have just described to you is, I call him the historic Jesus. Historical Jesus. Historical Jesus. So everybody say historical Jesus. That is the Jesus of history. Now, the Jesus I want to tell you about now is the experiential Jesus. The Jesus you need to experience by yourself. So that when they are talking about Jesus, you know, they told us, no, we read about, no, you say, I saw him, I know him. Can you see the difference? If you have not experienced Jesus, you are worshipping the historic Jesus. You know only the historic Jesus, that is the Jesus you read about, the Jesus you were told about. But you see, if they put a gun on your head and say, is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus truly Lord? And say, if you like, shoot it now. Before I finish talking, shoot it, because I will not deny Jesus. Jesus is Lord. I know him. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. Because you cannot deny somebody that is real. You cannot deny that. Can they ask you, is pastor alive? Say, they put a gun in your head and say, talk through. If you don't talk through now, we will blow your head. Is pastor alive? You will look at me. Say, the pastor is alive now. Because you know I'm alive. So if you know Jesus, no matter what happens to you, you will never deny him. You will never doubt him. Whether things are good for you or things are not good for you, you will still know that Jesus is with you. That Jesus is who I want to reintroduce to you today. I want you to know Jesus for real. That is, when they tell you about Jesus, you say, no, I know him now. He did this for me. He did this for me. I know him. I know him. I know him. Praise the Lord. So you have to have an experience, an encounter with Jesus by yourself. The reason, listen to this, The reason why you will read about miracles in the Bible and you say, all these things we are even reading, is this still happening? It's because you know about the history of Jesus. You know about the history of Jesus, you know about the history of how he performed miracles. You don't know it by yourself that God performs miracles. You don't know it by yourself that Jesus is with you right now. It is when you know that Jesus that your answer, prayers to your answers will be easy to answer. You will not doubt your prayers. You will not doubt your Jesus. You will not doubt that things can change even when you don't have. Are you still here? You will know that God is working behind the scene for you. You will know that God is working. God is working all the time. That Jesus that I want to reintroduce to you, you must know him personally. When we see, when we were worshiping, those of you who came early, when we were worshiping, you saw that the worship changed at a time to a point where you didn't care who was entering church. You didn't care what was happening because you now know that you are touching God. Before that time, you know, you could look around. Your mind was not even there. But at the time, things switched. I want things to switch for you from the historic Jesus to a personal Jesus. You want to have personal experience with that Jesus. I'll give you an example in the Bible. That's one of the scriptures I wanted us to read. In the Bible, you see Jesus turning fish. And Jesus, look at it, Matthew 15, from verse 29. And Jesus departed from there and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those who were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Not one exception. Matthew 15. From verse 29 rather. Not one exception. He healed every one of them. Look at it again. Blind, lame, those who could not talk, those whose feet, have you seen some aboki? They are crawling with their bum bum. They are crawling on the ground with their bum bum. They have no legs. They are maimed. That's what it means to be maimed. Those who were maimed. And the Bible says many others. Look, and whenever the Bible says many, it means it is uncountable. Many others, and they dropped them at Jesus' feet. They say, oh yeah, Jesus, oh yeah, perform your work. The Bible says, and he healed them. See, those lame people, if you tell them that healing is fake, healing is wayo, healing is scam, would they believe you? Answer me now, or me, you don't
cook.
They will not believe. If you tell them that healing is calm, they will never believe because, they have seen Jesus. They have been healed by Jesus. Nobody can tell them about Jesus. They will tell people about Jesus. May God take you to a place where you will be telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
See, you will not go and tell people about Jesus because they told you to tell people about Jesus. When they are talking inside bus, you say, the miracle not the day again. At Jesus' time, miracle don't finish. You say, Nalayo, it happened to me. It happened to me. My daughter was sick and almost died. See what Jesus did. If not for Jesus. See, no matter what they do to you in that bus, even if there are 200 Muslims in that molue or in that BRT or wherever you find yourself, and they are arguing with only you, they can't win you. Even if 300 people are arguing with you, they can't win you. You see, because that Jesus you are talking about is not the historic Jesus that you read about. It has happened to you. May Jesus happen to you.
Amen.
I say, may Jesus happen to
Amen.
You. So the Jesus we are talking about, the reason why you're not receiving your miracle is because you have not personalized your relationship with him. You don't know him for real. You have not personalized your relationship with him. These people that were healed, they cannot be told about Jesus. They are the ones who will tell others about Jesus. Now, the problem with the reason why evangelism is difficult is because they told us to go and talk about what they told us about Jesus. Listen to me again. The reason why evangelism is difficult, evangelism is like by force, you know, is because the reason why evangelism is like work, hard work. The reason why it's as if evangelism is difficult is because they told us to talk about who they told us about. that is Jesus. But when you are going on the road and you see somebody despondent, you see somebody blind, you see somebody that has gone through what Jesus saved you from, you will stop and you will start telling the person about Jesus. Excuse me, that is no longer evangelism. Eh? That is, you are telling the person your life experience. Are you with me? But in the real sense, it is evangelism. To you, that is not the evangelism they told you. Let's go for evangelism. Redeem now. Every Easter they do, let's go out fishing, right? Some of you who have been to Redeem before, let's go out fishing. Every Easter I know they do it. Let's go out fishing. Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship, they do it also. They do something, I can't remember what they call their own, but they do it every Easter. When I was with Full Gospel, we'll go to beach. Anywhere people gather a lot, we'll go and do it. Fine. We'll take t-shirts, we'll take printed materials, Christian printed materials, and distribute. Those things they sent us. But when it is you that has heard what somebody is going through that Jesus has saved you from, ha, you will be doing evangelism without knowing that you are doing evangelism. That one to you is not evangelism. You are talking about your experience. Evangelism should be exactly our experience. Jesus told the disciples, go and heal. Go and heal the sick. Go and raise the dead. That is evangelism. Go and make people evangelism is actually making people to experience Jesus. Those of you who are writing, evangelism is not telling people about Jesus as we were told. Evangelism is making people to experience the Jesus that you have experienced. Those who are writing, I'll repeat it two more times. Evangelism is not going to tell people about Jesus. Evangelism is actually going to tell people, help people experience the Jesus that you have experienced. Evangelism, for the last time, is not when people tell you to go and speak to people about Jesus. Evangelism is going to make people experience what you have experienced about Jesus, or to make people experience Jesus. So let me read on. In so much that, look at it. When Jesus healed all these people, it was so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Ah, may God take us there in this church. Amen. This is what I have been praying for, that God will make my own story a testimony, will make your own story a testimony.
Amen.
You see, I'll be happier that God is making your own story a testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the Bible says the multitude wondered when they saw, listen, when they saw the dumb speak. They didn't hear about the dumb speaking, they saw it for themselves. That means they experienced Jesus. They were not hearing about the historic Jesus. These people knew about the promised Jesus. Listen to this again. These people in Jesus' time knew about two types of Jesus. There was the promised Jesus, that is the future Jesus. They told them a Messiah was coming, right? They knew about the promised Jesus. But on this particular day, they saw the living Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
On this particular day, they saw the living Jesus. We have heard about the historic Jesus, but God will make you experience the real Jesus,
Amen.
The living Jesus.
Amen.
So Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. See, I don't need to see Jesus. Listen, I'm not one of those people who is saying, "Ah, Lord Jesus, let me see you. Let me see." The Bible says, "Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they believe." So we that have not seen Jesus, we believe in, we are more blessed than those who saw him, like Peter and John. We are more blessed. We are more blessed. Those who died, the Bible says, these all died in faith, Hebrews 11, not having received the promise. Not having received the promise. The real promise is Jesus. They believed in Jesus, Abraham and the rest of them. They all believed in Jesus. The Bible says, Abraham saw my days. Jesus was saying, talking. He said, Abraham saw my days and he rejoiced. So Abraham saw Jesus with faith. So Abraham believed in Jesus without seeing Jesus. We have believed in Jesus without seeing Jesus. We are more blessed than Peter, James, and John and the rest of them, because the Bible says, blessed are those who have not believed, but who have not seen but yet believe. So I am not one of those who is praying, oh Father, let me see Jesus, even though I have seen Jesus once, not physically. I saw in my vision just once. I saw him in my vision once. And when I saw him, I knew this was Jesus, but I didn't look at him. It was the devil near him I was looking at. The devil was standing with Jesus. Jesus was in the middle. The other pastor that invited me to Togo to preach was on this side. And Satan said to me, don't come to Togo. I said, I shouldn't come to Togo. I was to travel the next day. So in the night, I had this vision. So Jesus was standing in the middle. The pastor was on his left-hand side. The devil was like on his right-hand side. And the devil was saying to me from the sky, if you don't come to Togo, make sure you don't come to Togo. So I now replied, Jesus was standing there. And I now replied the devil, I said, if I get to Togo, I will kill you. And I moved from here. I flew to where Jesus was. Who was I going to meet? To meet the devil. I said, wait for me. By the time I got there, he ran away. And I woke up. If you, now you be Jesus, wouldn't you be proud of your son? So I have seen Jesus. That's the only time I saw Jesus. But whether I see him or not, I believe in him. I know he's real. If I close my eyes, I am in prayer. I know he's here. Hallelujah. Until your life becomes like that, you see, the things you are praying for, you'll not receive answers to the prayers because you have not experienced Jesus. That's why we keep saying, oh, why are miracles happening? Are you sure miracles are still? Listen, miracles are happening every day. People are building houses every day. When I bought this land, some of the people who have built bigger than houses than me, they didn't even have money to buy land that time. So that you don't have today does not mean you will not become a millionaire tomorrow. Are you still here? I just read a story on the internet before coming here now. The man, poverty was, she said he went to buy a phone for the wife and went with the wife's mother. You read it? Yes. Say he went with the wife's mother and the wife's mother was only, look at the kind of phone, the amount you are using to buy phone for my daughter. Now, that guy saw poverty. There are many people like that. It doesn't mean that everybody who left poverty must follow Jesus. God is good to everybody. But you see, when you follow Jesus and you know Jesus, your prayers will be answered. You don't know him. You want to eat very tasty banga soup. If you don't know how to cook it, your prayer will not be answered. Unless you go and you have money to go and buy it with somebody who knows how to cook it. For you to eat good banga soup, you must know how to cook it. You must have the money to cook it. Right? You must know Jesus to enjoy, to taste the sweetness. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Are you still here? Say, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have not tasted. Somebody tasted and told you it is Jesus is sweet. Historic Jesus. You have not tasted the Lord yourself. The Lord is good though. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I know that the Lord is good. I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. I know that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste him? You must acknowledge. You must acknowledge that he exists and that you want to taste him. You must desire to taste him as well. You must acknowledge that he exists. You must also desire to taste him. You must desire to taste him. You must desire. You must desire to taste him. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
You must desire to taste Jesus. You must desire to taste him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You must desire to taste it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must desire to taste Jesus. You must desire to taste him. And that's when things will begin to change for you. The prayer, the promises in the Bible, the things that you see in the Bible that are still far away. This one of the stories, this same scripture that I told you to read now, I think towards the end you will see where Jesus fed them. You see where Jesus fed them. Verse, I can't really see the verse now. Verse 32, thank you. Said, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. 3 days they were fasting and they have nothing to eat. Do you know that Jesus knows when we don't have anything to eat? One, maybe 10,000 people were there. Jesus knew that 10,000 people are not eating. He said, and I will not send them away fasting. You see, I said they were fasting. He said, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness? We as to feed so great a multitude. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, apart from women, apart from children. And he went and he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Can you see that? You know what Jesus did here? He created bread. He created fish. He created it. So, we were talking about Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house on Sunday. Zacchaeus heard about Jesus, heard about the historic Jesus. But the day Zacchaeus gave Jesus one room in his flat or in his duplex or in his compound, he didn't need anybody to tell him about Jesus again. That is what you need. You need to get Jesus into your family. You need to get Jesus into your house. You need to get Jesus into your life. See, that is the beginning of the end of your doubting that God, oh, are we going to remain like this forever? Do you still answer prayers? You will also say, I used to doubt it before. Things were so difficult too, but Jesus changed my life. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
We used to doubt it before. Things were so difficult too, but Jesus changed my life. May God help you to see what you cannot see.
Amen.
Do you know that why we suffer, is because we don't know. It's because we don't know. Do you know that there was a time Boel used to kill people? Even in Bible days, Boel, you have Boel, you die. There was no ampicillin, there was no antibiotic. But now if somebody hears that you died of Boel, be like, witches, no be Boel. Now witches kill you, no be Boel. Because it is now common. There was a time we didn't know about ampicillin and the rest of the antibiotics. It is lack of knowledge that makes us suffer many times. May God open your eyes.
Amen.
May God give you understanding.
Amen.
May God make you hear something that will change your life.
Amen.
See, there's a news you will hear. There's something somebody will tell you. You will not be able to sleep. In the same way, there's something you will hear. You will know that you have already become a millionaire without you even stepping out of that place. This thing that I've heard, you have already become a millionaire. I was watching a program yesterday for the first time. Survivor. Survivor. I think Survivor 44. They've been advertising it, but I've never seen when. I don't even watch out for when they do it. But yesterday, I think there was light in the afternoon. So I put on TV. No, I put on Gem before they brought light. And I watched two episodes. They were like 15 people or 14. I don't know how many. I didn't start, of course. This is towards the end. Don't be carried away with my story. Use my story to understand my illustration. Now, the game is this. They put these 14 both men and women inside an island. They had to go with a boat to drop them there. They will look for food to eat by themselves. They will look for water to drink by themselves. They will provide shelter for themselves. They will make fire by themselves. They will not give them matches, no kerosene. They will remain there. Whoever wins after 44 days or so, will win $1 million. $1 million is not small money. It's over 1 billion naira. Now, you know what? The thing that they were to win, they tied it on a tree. But the people were there, they didn't see it. Once in a while, the camera will show the trees. A lady stood under the tree. The game is continuing for days, for weeks. But if anybody sees that thing on time, the game is over. So, but while they have not seen it, they are eliminating themselves. All of us here, one day, after 1 week, we'll vote one person out. We'll vote. They've been voting themselves out. By the time I started watching, which was yesterday, there were about six of them. The two episodes, they voted two out. It remained four. Then later, it remained one. It remained three. By the time I stopped watching, I don't know whether I will see the end. But the next episode is going to end it. Remaining three. But all this while, on that island, the people were searching. They were digging ground. They were searching everywhere so that the game will end. Because anybody sees that thing, it will end. But they had not seen it. But it didn't. One lady went to stand under the tree and was just looking, and the thing was tied up there. And she zoomed it. That's what is happening to us in this life. The thing that will lead us out of where we are to where we ought to be, that will make us, is somewhere. We are looking for it. May God open your eyes to see it.
Amen.
May God open your ears to hear it.
Amen.
Now, I just said something before I started illustrating. There is something they will tell you, you will not sleep. You will be feeling sad. May God not let you hear such news today. But there is also something they will tell you. Say, if I can find it. And when you find it, you will hold it. And you will hold that secret. You will not tell anybody. It is a secret of life. There are people who need to find the secret of life. The greatest secret of life is Jesus. The best kept secret of life is Jesus. I mean, he's the totality of life. But in life itself, God himself has kept the secrets of this life that will make you come out of what you are struggling with. God himself has stationed it around us that will make you come out of what we are struggling with. There are people you see that are doing the same business that everybody is doing. But why are they building houses? Why are they sending their children abroad? When you look at it, you say, what is juju job? It's not all of them that is doing juju. If juju is easy to do, many people that have been doing juju and becoming very rich. But that person knows the secret. I keep telling you that the business that Mama is doing now is the business I did and failed 25 years ago. Same office, same door, same address, same place, same business 25 years ago. When at that time, what we later knew about the business, if we knew it at that time, would have been multimillionaire by now. But we didn't know it. When I told Mama, I said, let's go back to that business. Say, that same business. I said, the mistakes I made that I have learned better. Mama was into cooking. That's why we have a lot of coolers, a lot of things to cook. We have all those catering things. There was one she cooked for 700 people. we killed Malu in Orich. We had goat in Orich. Malu in Orich, goat in Orich, chicken in Orich. We did goat, Malu, chicken. Are you still here? She went to buy extra Malu. I said, we bought a whole Malu. They killed it for us. We went to buy extra. So when I wanted to do this business, I said, choose. Let's go and do it in that office. I said, choose. She said, the other one cooking is wahala. Cooking number one, you must go to market every day, whether you like it or not. Number two, you must put hand inside water every day and cook every day. See, the wahala is too much. I said, me, I prefer you to do this one that we failed before. The question is, why are we going back to that business? Because God has opened our eyes to see. And because of us, a lot of people can feed themselves now. Because there are times we have 14 people, 12 people as staff, workers. Other people jumped into the same business. They are doing well. I know one of the people that jumped into the business was drinking garri and granite every 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. 3 o'clock, he has closed, he has gone home. Now, with this business, he himself has employed people. 7, 8, 9 people. He jumped into the business, copied us and jumped into it. Another person copied us, jumped into it. They are feeding well now. They are getting fat. When you see them physically, they are fat. Protruding stomach. Because we brought an idea that they sought to copy. It is something you need to see. There is something you need to see. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you understand? In conclusion, tonight, this evening, we have talked about two types of Jesus. The historic Jesus and the experiential Jesus. Do you understand the message?
Yes, sir.
Which one do you need to follow?
Yes,
you need to know Jesus for yourself. You need to see him for yourself.
Yes.
Come and receive Jesus into your life.
Yes.
Repeat after me. We repeated after him. And then we give our life to Christ. And then we stopped there. Paul was looking for Jesus every day. Even though Apostle Paul became born again, he was still looking for Jesus. Peter lived with Jesus, ate with Jesus, slept with Jesus, and all the other disciples. When Jesus left, they were still following Jesus. They were still looking for Jesus. There is no end to looking for Jesus in worship, in prayer, in everything. Are you still here? Praise the Lord.
Amen.